Good evening. Let's come to order, please, and go on the record. My name is Patrick Bufkin. I'm a staff attorney at the North Carolina Utilities Commission, and the commission has designated me as hearing examiner for this matter. The commission now calls for hearing docket number EMP 103 sub-zero in the matter of application of Albemarle Beach Solar LLC for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct an 80-megawatt solar facility in Washington County, North Carolina. Before we call our public witnesses, I will make some introductory comments on the procedural background and the format for this hearing. On September 21st, 2015, Albemarle Beach Solar LLC, whom I will refer to as the applicant, filed with the Commission an application for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, which I will refer to as a CPCN, for the construction of an 80-megawatt solar photovoltaic electric generating facility to be located on the south side of Mackey's Road, east and west of Cross Road, and northeast of Woodlawn Road in Roper in Washington County, North Carolina. The applicant stated in its application that it was in discussions to sell the electricity generated at the facility to Virginia Electric and Power Company, doing business as Dominion North Carolina Power, or one or more wholesale retail customers in deregulated states that allow for such sales, or into the PJM market. On September 23, 2015, the Commission issued an order requiring publication of notice, requiring the applicant to, one, publish notice of the application in the manner provided by General Statute 6282, subsection A, and file an affidavit of publication with the Commission, and two, to mail a copy of the application and notice to the electric utility to which the applicant plans to sell and or distribute the electricity, and to file a signed and verified certificate of service that the application and notice had been provided to the utility. In addition, the order directed the chief clerk of the commission to deliver copies of the notice to the clearinghouse coordinator of the Office of Policy and Planning of the Department of Administration for distribution by the coordinator to state agencies having an interest in the application. On September 22, 2016, the applicant filed an amendment to the application, removing parcels of land and adding another parcel to the site of the proposed facility. Complaints were filed in this docket on or after November 5, 2015 by John D. Bunn, Norma Brown, Al and Brenda Hartkoff, and Timothy Farr. On September 9, 2016, based upon the complaints and the record herein, the Commission issued an order setting this matter for hearing for the purpose of receiving evidence as to whether the CPCN should be issued to the applicant and directing the applicant to publish notice of the public hearing and to pre-file testimony in this docket. On October 6 and October 10, 2016, the Commission issued orders canceling the hearing previously scheduled and clarifying that all complaints filed in this docket remain pending and that the individuals who submitted those complaints are entitled to a hearing in this proceeding. In addition, the October 10 order noted that the applicant's plan to add an additional parcel to the site of the proposed facility justified requiring additional public notice and further review of the application by the state clearinghouse. Finally, that order further stated that unless the pending complaints are withdrawn and no further complaints received, a hearing in this matter would be scheduled at an appropriate time and place. On November 12, 2018, the applicant filed a second amendment to its application for CPCN, noting that the location of the site of the proposed facility has changed as a result of the removal of parcels of land from and the addition of parcels of land to the site of the proposed facility. In addition, the applicant states that an E911 address had been assigned to the property and that the facility would now be planned to come online in phases before December of 2020. On November 29, 2018, the Commission issued an order determining that the applicant erred in applying for a CPCN pursuant to Commission Rule R864, the rule applicable to CPRE program participants, qualifying cogeneration facilities or small power producers, and should have made application for CPCN pursuant to Commission Rule R863, the rule applicable to merchant plant facilities. The Commission therefore declared the application to be an application for a CPCN for the construction of an electric generating facility that will be operated as a merchant plant, and accordingly directed that docket number SP6476 sub-0 be closed, and that the record in that docket be transferred to the present docket, EMP103 sub-0. The commission further determined that the application as transferred was incomplete, and that all complaints filed in docket SP6476 sub-0 remain pending before the commission. On March 28, 2019, the applicant filed the direct testimony and exhibits of Linda Nwadike, which was amended by further filings on April 10 and 11, 2019. Also on April 11, 2019, the public staff filed the notice required pursuant to Commission Rule R863D, stating that the public staff has reviewed the application and giving notice that the public staff considers the application to be complete. The public staff therefore requested that the Commission issue a procedural order setting the application for hearing, requiring public notice thereof, and addressing any other procedural matters. On April 26, 2019, as amended by further order issued on May 1st, 2019, the Commission issued an order scheduling hearing and requiring public notice, setting this matter for hearing on this date, at this time, and in this place, and establishing a procedural schedule to allow for the pre-filing of direct expert testimony and to allow for interveners to participate in this proceeding. That order also required the applicant to publish notice of the hearing in the newspaper which the applicant previously published notice of the application, and to mail a copy of the notice of the hearing to each of the individuals that filed a complaint in this proceeding. On May 20th, 2019, the applicant filed a certificate of service evidencing that the notice of the hearing was mailed to each of the individuals that filed a complaint in this proceeding. On May 29th, 2019, the applicant filed an affidavit of publication stating that the notice of the hearing had been published in the Roanoke Beacon. On May 24, 2019, the public staff filed the direct testimony and exhibits of Evan Lawrence. Finally, I note that the Commission has requested comments on the amended application from state agencies having an interest in the application, which would be submitted through the State Environmental Review Clearinghouse. The Clearinghouse previously filed comments, including the comments of the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources, recommending that an archaeological survey of the tracts identified in the application be made prior to any ground-disturbing activities to determine whether any portion of the site of the proposed facility may be eligible for inclusion in the National Register of Historic Places, and if so, to develop a mitigation plan. Further, the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, the Department of Environmental Quality, and the Department of Public Safety submitted comments that remain pending in this docket. In addition, on April 26, 2019, the Commission requested additional comments on the amended application from state agencies having an interest in the application, and the State Environmental Review Clearinghouse has not yet responded to that request. The public staff's right to intervention and participation is recognized pursuant to General Statute 62, Section 15, Subsection D, and Commission Rule R1119E. No other parties have intervened in this matter. And that brings us up to the hearing before us tonight. Pursuant to the State Government Ethics Act, I disclose for the record that I do not have any known conflicts of interest with respect to this matter. And I now call upon counsel to enter their appearances for the record, beginning with the applicant.
Good evening, Hearing Officer Bufkin. My name is Karen Kimmerite. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Fox Rothschild in Raleigh, and I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Albemarle Beach Solar, LLC.
Thank you, Ms. Kimmerite.
Good evening. My name is Megan Yost with the Public Staff of the Utilities Commission. With me is Evan Lawrence. We represent the using and consuming public.
Thank you, Ms. Yost. Now, let's briefly go over the format for this hearing. The purpose of this hearing tonight is twofold. First, we're here to receive testimony from the public regarding the proposed facility and whether or not the applicant should be awarded a CPCN for this facility. Second, we are here to receive evidence from the applicant as to why it should be awarded a CPCN. The public testimony will be taken under oath and transcribed by the court reporter. What is said under oath becomes an official part of the record in this matter and will be considered when a determination is made. However, a final determination will not be made here tonight. The commission functions much like a court. Public witnesses will have to come up and be sworn or affirmed. You'll be seated at the jury box to my left. And counsel for the applicant and I may ask you questions based on the testimony that you provide. This is the public's opportunity to present evidence, opinions, and other thoughts on this project. However, this is not a time to ask questions of or cross-examine the applicant. The public staff distributed a sign-up sheet earlier for members of the public who wish to testify, and we will begin with the public staff calling witnesses from that list, and then I'll check to make sure anyone else isn't present who didn't get a chance to sign up but wants to testify. And following the public testimony portion of the hearing, we will receive expert testimony from the applicant in support of its application. In this matter, the applicant has pre-filed its direct testimony. Those testifying from the public are not formal parties to this matter and will not have the opportunity to cross-examine the applicant's witnesses. However, as I mentioned earlier, the hearing examiner or counsel for the public staff may ask some questions in response to testimony provided by the public, and the applicant may choose to address new matters in its testimony that were spoken of here tonight. The applicant has also indicated that its representatives will remain in the room following the conclusion of tonight's hearing and be available to discuss issues or answer questions that those in attendance may have. Additionally, the Commission's actions do not preempt any other local, state, or federal regulations or requirements. Finally, it is noted that the full contents of the docket, including the application, the letters of complaint, and once it is transcribed, the transcript of tonight's hearing, are available for public view on the Commission's website at www.ncuc.net. Before we begin the public witness testimony, are there any preliminary matters we need to address?
Not from the applicant.
Thank you. Then Ms. Yost, please call your first public witness.
All right. Brenda Harcock.
I couldn't get my phone cut off. I hope it doesn't go off while I'm up here.
Hey there. Come on around and have a seat in the witness box, please. And if you would.
I've never been in a witness box.
Place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir. I do.
Thank you. Ms. Yost?
Could you please state your name and address for the record?
My name is Brenda Harkoff. I live at 23 Alamo Beach Road, Roper.
Right. And do you have a statement that you would like to present?
Yes, I do.
Please proceed.
As a citizen and taxpayer, and I don't live far from what all is the sun panels that are going up, I would like to know the disposal of the panels. Is there any radiation from the panels? Are there any environmental regulations? If so, I want to know. If not, I want to know why. And what is the proof that there are no environmental concerns? Who's responsible for the cleanup to property in case at this place, because I understand that if a panel breaks, someone needs to be there to clean it up. So I don't know how that works. What will the installation of this business affect the property? What are my property taxes going to be? What are the regulations dealing with agricultural property? How will it impact Washington County, taxes, employment, and so on? I want to know how many employees there will be there, their jobs, how long it will last, and the taxes. My concern is that if the electric company has to buy this, they're going to have to somehow recoup this money. Is that going to affect our electric bills? Okay. And the ground will be sprayed with chemicals to get this on the ground. And what happens to the structures if the company goes bankrupt? And who's responsible for repairing the homeowner's property if we have a tornado and things go bad? And also, I'd like to know is there any letters that was written to the county commissioners saying in the future that they might want to buy more land on Alamo Beach Road from Sun Energy One. And I'd like all of this, these answered. I'd like to have a copy and copy sent to all the county commissioners.
Conclude your statement?
I think so. Anyway, I'm a little nervous, but I'm concerned because I live near this property. And I'm just concerned of what it might do to the value of my property and taxes. That's it.
Well, don't be nervous.
I am. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Any further questions, Ms. Yost, for this witness? Ms. Kimmerer, any questions for this witness?
Just briefly, this Ms. Harkoff, did
yes.
I pronounce your name correct?
That's correct.
And of course, I certainly don't want to make you nervous. I just have a couple of questions. The Washington County Planning Board did conduct two public hearings on the special use permits that were requested for this solar site. Is that your understanding?
No, ma'am.
How many hearings were conducted?
I do not know.
Did you attend either of the hearings?
Not the panel, not on the planning board, no. When I found out about this, it was in the paper about them buying the land from Mr. Small. That's the first I heard of it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Also, I had another question I wanted to answer, but I can't think of it right now.
That's all right. Take your time.
I might think of it later. No, I'm not up here.
That's all right. We'll be here till we finish.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Anything else?
Not that I can think of right now. I had another question, but it's 78. Your mind goes sometimes.
All right. Well, you're excused, and thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next name we have is Mitch Dobson. So Mr. Dodson has indicated that he doesn't wish to speak.
I think he's changed his mind.
Okay. All right.
Come on around, and if you would, put your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
The best I can.
Thank you.
Could you please state your name and address for the record?
It's William Mitchell Dotson, and 2334 Tarlanning Road in Williamston.
And Mr. Dotson, do you have a statement that you would like to present?
I really was, it's kind of the cart before the horse thing. I don't have the complaint letters in front of me or anything. I own property there. I have an interest in it going through, not a complaint about it being there. And if I could affirm some of her things, the contracts that we had with the, what were you calling them?
The applicant?
The applicant,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Albemarle Beach Solar.
The way I understand their system and or business model is that they only buy a certain amount in each county. I don't know whether this, but that's what we were told. And that the idea behind that was they would buy, let's say if they bought 1,000 acres in one, they don't continue to buy, which doesn't change property values. And that the taxes for their surrounding properties wouldn't change because they're not competing for that land. I can't think of her other questions, but they've been good to deal with for us. They've done everything they said.
Anything further?
No, I don't think. Thank you, Lord.
We're going to leave this just there. Ms. Kimmerer, you have any questions for this?
No questions, thank you.
Okay, I have just one, just to be clear.
Okay.
You support the granting of the CPC, and you're in favor of the project being developed.
Yes, and I supported it. I had concerns such as hers with, this is the third company that we've talked to briefly about the land. This was the only one we considered dealing with because the other ones were, the only way I can put it is sketchy, you know. And I had some of the same concerns that she had, and there weren't really answers to your questions, and they've answered every question I've asked in a way that I was satisfied with.
Thank you. Any questions on my questions?
No.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Those are all of the people who indicated that they would like to give a statement.
All right.
Follow my question.
Yes, ma'am. Come on back around.
Do I sworn in again?
No, you're still under oath.
Okay. I would also like to know why we can't find out who owns the company. And if there are heavy metals, or what kind of metals in the panels. All this, like I said, I want written down in letters sent to the county commissioners.
All right.
I think that's it.
Okay, let's see if the lawyer's got any questions for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. No questions.
It looks like they don't. Thank you very much.
All
right, let's see if anybody came in after the sign-up sheet had been distributed, or anybody changed your mind and decide you want to provide some public testimony tonight. All right, seeing none, then I hereby close the public portion of our hearing. And now turning to the applicant, does your witness wish to offer further testimony in this matter?
Yes, briefly. I will call Linda Wadicki as the witness for the applicant.
All right, and if you would please state your name and address for the record.
Sure, my name is Linda Wadike, and my office address is 192 Raceway Drive in Morrisville, North Carolina.
Thank you, and if you would place your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes. Sorry.
Thank you. Ms. Kimmerer.
Ms. Wadicki, I'm going to be fairly brief in my questions. You've already stated your name and address. Can you briefly describe what your professional experience is in your capacity with the applicant?
Sure. So I was hired 3 years ago as manager one as a project manager. I have kind of moved over to becoming the director of permitting for Sun Energy One, and also the community relations personnel for Sun Energy One.
And you've just spoken about Sun Energy One, and I'm going to ask you in a minute about the actual applicant, Albemarle Beach Solar LLC. But can you first describe what Sun Energy One as a company is?
Sure. So Sun Energy One is a top five solar developer in the United States. They develop, engineer, utility-scale solar facilities all around the country.
And how is Albemarle Beach Solar LLC related to Sun Energy One?
Sure, Sun Energy One is a developer of Albemarle Beach Solar. of Albemarle Beach Solar, which is an affiliate of Sun Energy One.
And maybe you should speak just a little bit more slowly so that the transcription can be a little easier.
Sure.
And Ms. Wadicki, can you describe the applicant, Albemarle Beach Solar LLC?
Sure, yes. Albemarle Beach Solar LLC wishes to construct an 80 megawatt solar facility project here in Albemarle in Washington County. This site is located south of Marquise Road, and also east and west of Crossroad here in the county.
And approximately how many acres are located on the site for Albemarle Beach Solar Facility?
It's a little bit over 1,000 acres that will be utilized.
And what is the current land use on the property?
The property, some of the parcels are utilized for agricultural, and the rest are kind of rural sites with trees and things of that nature on there.
And then what will be the land use after the solar facility is constructed? I think that's an easy question, but I think for the record.
Sure. The use would change from agriculture, of course, to commercial, industrial, for the use of the solar facility.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
The use would change from agriculture, since it would be a solar facility, and it might be changed to commercial or industrial per the county requirements or what the county desires to do.
And what is the capacity for the solar facility?
It's an 80 megawatt solar project.
And can you describe the basic components for the solar facility?
Sure. The components consist of solar panels, posts, which will be driven down to the ground with racks right on top of it, and the solar panels will be mounted on top of it. There will be a collector station, which will be constructed adjacent to the existing Marquis, Dominion's Marquis 230 kV substation, which where the transmission line will go through to power this facility.
And I wanted to ask you a question about the solar panel and what it's comprised of in relation to a question by Ms. Hartcoft. And she had previously asked that we provide information on the record about whether the solar panels will contain the following two metals, cadmium, and that's C-A-D-M-I-U-M, telluride, or gallium, G-A-L-L-I-U-M, arsenide, A-R-S-E-N-I-D-E. Can you state whether the solar panels will have either of those two metals?
No, it would not. The panels that we're going to utilize is like silicon-based panels. These are the technology since the 1950s, made with sand and glass, usually. The panels that she's talking about is will not be utilized at the site. It's a different type of panels, which is called the thin film.
So there is no toxic materials.
It's called
thin film panels. Thin film?
Thin film.
Correct.
So the solar panels contain no toxic materials.
That is correct.
And can you describe how the solar facility will be interconnected to the grid?
Sure. As stated previously, there will be a collector station built right adjacent to the Dominion substation. So the collector station, the panels will be routed to through the collector station, and the collector station will be routed through Dominion substation, and that's how power will be getting to the grid. Okay.
Through a substation owned by Dominion.
That is correct. It's an existing substation owned by Dominion.
And one of the questions that was asked and described in your direct testimony is about the need for this facility. And can you describe for the record the need for this facility and whether there has been a PPA, a purchase power agreement that's been entered into?
Yes, there is a purchase, a PPA that is entered into with Digital Realty on behalf of Facebook. So those are the personnel who will be purchasing the power from the site.
And then also, in regard to land use and environmental permits and approval, can you describe for the record what permits and approval have already been obtained for this project?
Sure, there has been various permits. As you know, for a solar facility to be constructed, there are various requirements in regards to that. In particular, in regards to environmental, as mentioned previously, there was archaeological and architectural survey that was required when the site was going to this clearinghouse. So those phase one and phase two has been processed, have been completed. For the new parcels that were added, we're going through the phase one process right now. Erosion and control permits are in process at the moment. We have already done the phase one, which is the initial environmental analysis of the property, which has been completed. We have done wetland delineation, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has been on the site. So those are some of the major items. We have also contacted CAMA in regards to it, the site, and that is okay. We're okay with that. So those are the major permits that are required.
And then in regard to the land use permit, has a conditional special use permit been obtained?
Yes, two special use permits have been obtained. The first one was for the original site, and the second one was for the amended sites that we added later on during the project.
And from whom were the special use permit approvals obtained?
From Washington County Planning Board.
And do you recall the dates that the special use permits were obtained?
I can definitely find out. I have some paperwork in regards to that.
Subject to check, would you agree that Washington County Planning Board approved a special use permit on January the 12th of 2017 and a revision to the special use permit on December 21st of 2018?
That is correct.
And what permits still need to be obtained, as you were stating?
The building permits need to be obtained. Erosional control, we're still in process with that at the moment. In addition to stormwater, is still in process right now for the site.
And does Washington County have a development ordinance that contains solar regulations and requirements?
Yes, it does.
And can you describe what the setback requirements are for solar farms in Washington County?
Yes. Washington County has a 300 feet setback on residential properties and a 75 feet setback on other properties that are not residential.
And does Washington County also require landscaping to be installed around the solar farm?
Yes, it does. Washington County requires a continuous evergreen vegetative buffer to be planted all around the facility where there is no natural vegetation already in place.
And in regard to any potential concerns about flooding in the area, does Washington County have a flood damage prevention ordinance?
Yes, they do. And also in regards to our application, you do have to do an application if your solar facility is on a flood zone. And also we are utilizing elevation as a mitigating factor for that.
And would you have to obtain a floodplain development permit before you can begin constructing the solar farm?
Yes, it has to be signed by the Washington County Building Permit personnel, and that is given once we apply for the building permit.
And can you describe the elevation that will be required by the floodplain development permit that will have to be utilized for the solar farm?
Yes, there's an application that we have to submit to the Washington County Building Permit for that permit. In addition to that, for the elevation for any electrical component, we will elevate it about 6 feet high, mm-hmm. So you can stay away from any floods in case it happens.
And does the county have a fencing requirement around the solar farm? And if so, can you describe the height of the fence that is required?
Sure. The fence will be a six feet chain link fence, and that's actually a national code that is required for all solar facility. In addition to that, there will be a 1 foot barbed wire on top of that 6 foot fence, and that will include the whole solar facility.
And does Washington County have any decommissioning requirements for solar farms in its jurisdiction?
Yes, Washington County does. It requires a decommissioning plan and also a bond. And the planning board approves those items, which they have for this particular project.
And I think you might have said this, but in case you have not, can you describe whether you are required to obtain an erosion control permit from the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality?
Yes, we are.
And to respond to some of the questions that were previously asked, can you describe or provide information about the maintenance that will be provided for the site once the solar facility has been constructed?
Sure. The maintenance of the site, we have dedicated personnel that are in charge of maintenance of all our sites. Our sites are actually composed of a SCADA system, so it's monitored remotely. So in case there's any issues, we will know from the office anywhere that there's an issue with X, Y, and Z panel, and we send out the technician to go out there and take a look at the exact problem and fix it as need be. And the technicians all live around the area that we have sites at.
And there's also a question about a disposal of any damaged or non-functioning solar panels. And can you describe what the process would be for disposal of any solar panels that are no longer necessary for the solar facility.
Sure. The panels that we're utilizing are recyclable, so if there's any issues with those panels, we would definitely have the technicians pick it out, and take it out outside the site and dispose of it properly by recycling it at the applicable facility.
Right, and so the components of the solar panels are fully recyclable.
That is correct.
And then one other question was asked about whether you spray with chemicals on the solar farm as part of the maintenance.
We usually don't try to spray any item, but like it would be like any other agricultural farm in case they utilize herbicides or things of that nature. But we usually don't like to spray any items. We actually mow.
You provide mowing for maintenance instead.
That is correct.
That's all the questions I have for you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I do not have any cross.
All right. I have just a few questions. Can you tell me a little bit more? Ms. Kimmerheit was asking you about the setback and buffer requirements on the special use permit required from the county planning board. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, refresh my memory, how big are those setbacks?
So there's a 75 feet setback from all property boundaries and 300 feet setback from any residential property boundary.
All right. And you've got your permit, so you agreed to those setbacks?
Yes, sir.
And those setbacks are in addition to, or they incorporate the vegetative buffer that's also required by the zoning ordinance?
They are in addition to the vegetative buffer as well.
Okay. So would there be some cases where the setback would be larger than the 75 or the 300?
There will be some cases where they would be a little larger, but we must meet the, especially the 300 in terms of residential and 75 and any other areas.
All right. And there are adjoining residential properties to the site?
There are a couple of residential properties that are adjoins the site.
All right. And so you, of course, as you said, would have the 300-foot buffer between those residential neighbors.
Yes.
And on that 300-foot buffer, there would be the evergreen, on the 300-foot setback, there would be the evergreen buffer.
Yeah,
where vegetation wasn't already present. Is that right?
That is correct, sir.
All right. And then looking at the facility from those residential sites, what would you see?
Once the trees are fully mature, you would just see trees, greenery. And that's really about it when they're fully mature. However, as you're planting it, since the height will be a little low at planting, they might be able to see the panels at that point.
Understood. And again, from those adjoining residences, is there any noise from the operation of the facility?
No.
Setting aside, let's say, the construction phase, when there would be some normal construction noise, but during the operation of the facility?
Outside the fence line, sir, you will not hear any noise.
All right. Let me continue then with some more detail on the bond amount and decommissioning plan that you were discussing with Ms. Kimmerheit. This is a part of the local ordinance?
Yes, sir.
These are requirements, I mean, of the local ordinance?
Yes, sir.
What is that bond amount?
The county actually determines what the bond amount is, and for this particular site, they told us we have to pay $50,000 for the site.
Okay. And tell me a little bit more about the decommissioning plan.
The decommissioning plan is kind of our plan in regards to how we'll decommission to bring the site back to agricultural use at the end of life for the solar facility. That consists of removing all the panels, any new roads that we add, if we do add, taking all the equipment out of that area, so I put it back into agricultural use at the end of life.
All right. And so this plan gets filed with the county? Is it?
Part of the application is the plan, so the county actually reviewed the plan as well and approves it or says yes to it, and that determines the bond that they will set.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. Is there any radiation emitted by the solar panels?
No, sir. There isn't any.
We talked about environmental impacts, and you have the requirement to get a solar soil and erosion permit from the Department of Environmental Quality.
Yes, sir.
Are there any other environmental impacts or permits?
Right now, the only environments, other than that, there is, like I mentioned, the archaeological architecture that we're trying to close that with the clearinghouse. We have already started all the studies and surveys in there, but because we added some new land, we need to kind of finish up with the new parcels, and then we will get that approved by the applicable party.
Understood. And would you commit to filing that archaeologist report with the commission?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Now, you discussed in your pre-filed testimony impacts, benefits to the local community. One of the questions we heard tonight was how many folks are going to be working at this facility, how many are going to work on it during the construction phase and things like that. Could you provide some of those details now?
Yes, sir. For this construction, we'll have approximately over 1,200 people, up to 1,200 people working at the site doing construction at different phases of
All
construction.
Right. Are those local folks, or do they come in from out of town?
It's a little bit of both. We usually try to do a job fair, if I can get my words correct, at this time at the local county to get as much people as we can. And of course, if we can't get a lot of people that we need, we have to go outside the county lines. And one of the issues that we have found actually is they have to pass the alcohol and drug exams, and that's kind of one of the reasons we have to go outside, because sometimes some people do not pass those.
All right. Oh, you've developed projects like this before. Based on your experience after the construction phase is over, what impacts are there on adjoining properties due to the ongoing operation of the facility?
There is none.
Are you aware of any impacts, positive or negative, on property values, in particular adjoining residences?
I haven't seen any. For all the construction we have had, we haven't seen any negative impact or even of any properties nearby. Because a project like this provides job growth and things of that nature, and also provides a lot of economic support to the county. So we have seen a lot of that. But in regards to nearby properties, there's really no impact to it, positive or negatively.
All right, thank you for that. Now, you've already discussed that this the area where the facility is going to be located is mostly agriculture and residential.
It's a few residential properties, not a lot, but it's mostly agricultural and rural area.
Understood. So can you give us an idea of the impact on the agricultural output of the community? Obviously, these approximately 1,000 acres will not be productive for agricultural purposes as long as there's facilities there. What kind of impact might that have on the local economy?
Locally, it doesn't, because the landowner has decided not to farm those parcels. That's a landowner's choice, so they have decided not to. So they might not even be farming it at this time. So it doesn't really affect it.
All right. What impact then on one of the public witnesses asked about the impact on electric rates? What impact will the operation of this facility and the purchase of the power have on electric rates that folks pay in this community?
It will not. The electric rates are actually determined by the utility commission, so not us. So for the facility like this, it will not impact them. So we do not set the rates.
All right. Tell me a little bit more about, I think you've described the arrangement for sale of the output of this facility as a virtual PPA. Is that right?
That is correct, sir.
What does that mean to you?
So the power, Facebook itself, if you're not familiar with Facebook, they are the ones that will be at the end users of this, in terms of they will be utilizing the power because they want to go 100% renewable energy. So they're the ones that purchased the power, the power purchase agreement with the Digital Realty, who was representing them, and that with us. So Facebook is trying to go green, and that's the reason they did this.
Okay, and tell me a little bit more about Digital Realty. How are they involved in this arrangement?
They are representing Facebook for this.
Understood. So they negotiated on Facebook's behalf and signed the deal?
That's correct, sir.
Oh. I'm getting close to the end of my questions, and I appreciate you providing these answers. Now, one concern that I think I understood was here we are in a coastal county, and this area experiences high winds and hurricanes and occasionally tornadoes. Do you do any testing or modeling about what might happen to the solar panels on this facility in the event that this area is hit by a hurricane or tornado?
Yes, sir. We for Washington County, they do have a 110, I believe, wind speed or wind load that we must adhere to, and our panels must meet or exceed it, and our system must meet or exceed that number. So in terms of any issues regarding there is a tornado or hurricane that happens, and if a panel is damaged, we will come out there, take a look at it, and remove the applicable panel that is damaged. So that's kind of how we handle that.
Okay. Now that's well enough for repairing your facility. What if those panels became detached? Well, let me ask first. Would it be possible for one of those panels to detach and become airborne?
It hasn't been seen. We must have something drastic that happen for it to detach and become airborne. It hasn't been seen in around this area because we have had other hurricanes and we have solar sites nearby here. But if that happens, again, our personnel will go out there and anything, even if it's on a neighbor's property, and pick it up if need be.
Okay. Well, what if it caused damage to a neighbor's property? How would you handle that situation?
We do have some insurance, and we will mitigate the factor if it does happen.
All right. Thank you for that. Then I think I get to my final question. Typically, the commission has issued certificates conditioned on compliance with local zoning ordinances and environmental regulations. And in some cases where there has been archaeologist reports involved and recommendations, the commission has conditioned the certificate on compliance with those recommendations as well, or implementation of those recommendations. Would the applicant be willing to agree to those types of conditions on the certificate you've requested here?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have. Ms. Kimmerer, do you have any questions on my questions?
No questions, but I would move that the pre-filed testimony, and exhibits filed on March the 28th of 2019, and the amended pre-filed testimony and exhibits filed on March the 10th of 2019 be admitted into evidence.
Without objection, so ordered. All right, anything further tonight?
Not from the applicant.
All right, thank you. Your excuse. So that will conclude our evidentiary hearing tonight. We will head. I'm sorry. You need Mr. Lawrence's testimony in the record, don't you? Thank you.
We'd actually like him to provide a summary.
Oh yes, of course, of course.
The public staff calls Evan Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. Please come on around. And if you would state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Evan Lawrence. My business address is 430 North Salisbury Street, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Thank you. And if you would put your left hand on the Bible and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Jones?
Mr. Lawrence, could you please state your present position with the public staff?
I am an engineer with the public staff's electric division.
Did you prepare and cause to be filed on May 24th of 2019 testimony in this case consisting of 8 pages and an appendix?
Yes, I did.
Do you have any corrections or changes to that testimony at this time?
I do not.
If the same questions were asked of you today, would your answers be the same?
They would.
All right. I move that the direct testimony of Evan Lawrence, filed on May 24th, 2019, be copied into the record as if given orally from the stand, and his appendix be pre-marked as filed. All right.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. Mr. Lawrence, have you prepared a summary of your testimony?
Yes.
Would you please provide that summary now?
Yes. The purpose of my testimony is to make recommendations to the Commission based on the public staff's review and evaluation as to whether a certificate of public convenience and necessity should be granted to Albemarle Beach Solar, LLC, for its proposed 80-megawatt merchant electric generating facility in Washington County, North Carolina. The applicant has complied with all the Commission's filing requirements to date. The applicant has shown a need for this facility, citing a need for energy and RECs in North Carolina and in the PJM territory. This project will be privately financed and constructed. Any risk of default will be on private financers and not North Carolina retail electric customers. The public staff has reviewed the consumer statements of position filed on this docket. With regards to the concerns raised concerning compatibility with existing land uses and environmental impacts, the public staff believes that these concerns are more appropriately addressed through the local permitting process and through the environmental permitting process. The public staff notes that, according to the applicant's witness, Linda Nwadike, Washington County has a solar farm ordinance that requires a solar development permit for all solar projects proposed in the county. In addition, the public staff does not have particular expertise in the area of the impacts of electric generation on the environment. Those issues are best left to the purview of environmental regulators, who are responsible for issuing specific environmental permits for electric generating facilities. Based on the information I know to date, I recommend that the application be approved for the certificate of convenience and necessity be granted subject to the conditions listed in my testimony, including compliance with all permitting requirements. This completes my summary.
The witness is available for cross-examination.
I have no questions.
Thank you. I think I have just a few. Witness Lawrence, could you tell me a little bit more about your understanding of this virtual PPA and the applicant's plans to sell the output from the facility?
My understanding is that more and more large organizations are wanting to become 100% renewable, and the virtual PPA is you're buying the electricity without the third-party reseller issue, because you're buying the renewable energy certificates, and with buying those, you're essentially buying the certificates without the energy, but it's the way to the way to purchase the renewable energy in a state that doesn't allow the resellers.
Understood. So you agree with the applicant's witness that this the sale of the output of this facility will have no impact on the electric rates that folks pay here in Washington County?
I do agree with that.
All right. Thank you. Any questions on my question?
No. Not from the applicant.
Thank you. Witness is excused. So with that, we will conclude the evidentiary hearing. We will go back to our office and have the transcript for this hearing transcribed, and usually we ask for proposed orders within 30 days of the transcript being made available. Is that satisfactory?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions before we adjourn this hearing?
No.
All right. Hearing none, we stand adjourned pending commission order. Thank you both.
Thank you
to the public witnesses for attending.